Lord, take your word now, your living, active word, your word that's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Thank you, Lord, that we have it. It's there. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Read that. This is in Deuteronomy 30. The Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, the offspring of your body, the offspring of your cattle, and the produce of your ground, for the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he has rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commandments, his statutes that are written in the book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, for this is the commandment which I command you today, it's not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will go up into heaven and get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us and get it and make us hear it that we may observe it. But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it. Psalm 139, just a verse there. My favorite psalm. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when yet there was none. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For as many are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who established us with you is Christ, and who has anointed us is God, who sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2. You are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who has already made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as mirrors the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, in the Lord the Spirit. This is in Hebrews. It's quoting Jeremiah about the new covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with them, the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, everyone and his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the greatest to the least of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. And in 10, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us after saying, and this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. And he says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. You know, I just had this concept this morning. I was thinking about this, you know, about 2 Corinthians 3, where it says that we are a letter of Christ, right? Putting all this together, that God has put his laws, his word. Jesus is called the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God. All of that is written within us, right? We contain it. We contain the glory of God. We contain all his laws, and everything is contained in Christ, right? All the promises are yes. The reason they're yes in him is because we already have the promises, right? If we have every spiritual blessing, think about all the blessings of the Old Testament, the one I just read you. Deuteronomy 28 blessing. It's just a blessing over your house, your land, your children, everything that you put your hands to, just full of God's promises, right? All of those are already written in you. They're yours, right? So I don't have to ask the Lord to bless me. He's already blessed me. I just have to say yes and amen to it. All your promises are yes in Christ Jesus, right? Yes, you want to bless me. Those words are already written in my heart. All of us contain all the commandments, the laws, his everything he thinks about you is there, written within you. Isn't that amazing? And the Holy Spirit makes that real to us, right? And he tells the Corinthians, I've forgotten this one, 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, chapter 1. I think it's there. Maybe in 2 Corinthians 1, hang on. Supposed to have marked this, but I didn't do it. Well, it's in one of those two that it says that they're not lacking in anything. They're not lacking in any gift, that it's all theirs. And that's when he goes on into about the promises of God being yes in Christ Jesus. So I just think that is just the coolest thing, right? That we have the living word. What would happen if I didn't have my Bible? I already have it written in me, right? You already have the Word of God in you. I don't know what it looks like, you know, but he says, and I'll put them in their minds and in their hearts, I'll write them. So somewhere in this new creation that I am, because I contain Jesus, I contain the Word of God, the written blessings. Everything is mine in Christ Jesus. That's so important as we, at the end of chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where it says, we all as mirrors reflect the glory of God. And we go from glory to glory, right? Like sitting before him, you know, when we have our, Bishop always calls his footstool time. I don't know if I have a name for mine, what I do. I just hang out with the Lord, I guess, my hang time. Anytime we do that, we're beholding the glory of God and all that contains, you know. We're beholding all that he is, the glory of God in the face of Christ. We've been studying about, in the Tuesday night Bible study, I've been teaching through. We taught through, I thought, like one through half of 5 years ago. And it was hard kind of teaching that because we used to have an individual that would come who would undo everything that I've said, you know. And I would have to just constantly reel it back in. He thought he was helping me out in the Bible study, but actually he was doing the very opposite, you know, because you just release a word of grace, who we are, and he would combat it with a law word, you know, kind of a condemning word, you know. So it was just, and I can't do this anymore. So we went on and started doing something else. But now we're back in it, and we're studying in chapter 5, where they ask the bride or ask the believer, describe your beloved. Tell us what he's like. And she starts describing his hair, his head, his eyes, his cheeks, everything. Because you can tell by looking at someone about their expressions, right? You communicate with your eyes. You communicate with your cheeks. You communicate with, not just in what you're saying, but the face, right? Joy. You can see joy on, you can see anger on a face, right? But in everything, because she had been beholding him, beholding his presence for so long, she could just describe him, you know, his arms, his hands, his abdomen area here, just greatly describing the glory of God or who Jesus is to her, right? And this amazing thing, when you behold him, when you sit in his presence, you lack nothing. Everything is already there for you, right? You'll just begin to reflect that. It'll, you know, he was using that thing as Moses used to sit in the glory, God's presence, and have the veil over his face, and then take it off, and that the glory of God would shine. What he's saying is that we don't have that veil anymore. We have the full glory within us. Jesus said, the same glory, Father, you've given me, I have now given to them. And they walk around with the glory of God. It's contained. But what I want you to just kind of see out of that this morning is personally for you, that written on your heart is your destiny. Written on your heart is everything that God thinks about you. That, you know, out of Psalm 139, his thoughts toward me, if I would try to number them, David said, would outnumber the grains of sand. Right? That doesn't just fall to me, you know, from out of space somewhere. It's already written about me. Right? And all the Lord wants us to do is kind of read into it. Read it. Lord, let me hear what you think about me. Y'all ever done that, sitting in the God's presence, is just to ask him what he thinks about you? He loves to do that. That's one of the things he loves to do more than anything. He loves to tell you who you are and his thoughts toward you. Now, each person here, just think about that. His thoughts toward you outnumber the grains of sand in all the world. That is a lot of thoughts, right? And how much he loves you. That's already in you. Every promise in the Bible is yours. All the blessings, every blessing in heavenly places, right? All that blessings is written for me, is written in me, declared over me. We contain that. So it's not that hard to discover his destiny and his will for you, because it's already been written. We just get in his presence, get in the glory of God, and then that thing that's written about us will become true for us. Amen. So it's been written in you. It's in your mind, on your hearts. But I really challenge you. I used to keep a journal. And I think it was Leanne Payne that she said she journaled this way for a long time. She's one of my favorite authors. Restoring the Christian Soul is probably one of the best books ever written about inner healing. God healing our souls. But she would, say to begin this and begin to learn how to hear what God is saying about you. First thing, when you sit down and write down, she calls it a disease thought. Write down the negative things you think about yourself or that come to mind, right? All of us do that. That comes more than the positive. Write down that, and it's a disease thought. It's not true. Then say, all right, Lord, bring me your healing word. What do you say about me? What is true about me? What has been written about me? And just wait on the Lord. As she said, you'll be amazed what you hear, right? And it'll so contradict how you think. That's the reason when Paul tells them to, whatever's good, right, pure, lovely, think on these things. That's just what he thinks of you. What is true about you? And it amazed me how doing that over a season in my life really changed the way that I thought. Really healed some negative self-rejection, all that stuff that we all carry. So if you've never done that, take it out for a spin. Just be blown away by the things that God says.